This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
I'm Issa.
I'm AK. We're the Underachievers.
Oh, yeah. No.
Just had to say that. Who says that?
Me. I thought you said, oh, nah, just now. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to Brooklyn. No, thank you for coming from Brooklyn.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I was in the city already, but we both live in Bed-Stuy now.
You guys are roommates.
Yeah.
What's that like, spending all of that time together?
We don't spend any time together at all. I never see him unless we're doing some work stuff.
Yeah, I'm just in my room smoking weed, watching TV and shit.
Yeah, I never see my roommates, I guess.
Ever.
How do you know when it's time to work?
What do you mean? Like make music and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's music making time. Like, I don't know. It's like a...
It's just something that we know.
Yeah, we're not really working on a project right now. So, well, at least together. So we don't really have to be in the same vicinity to make music right now. But when it is music making time,
yeah,
then we're together for like maybe 5 hours, 6 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah.
And what is that like? Like what happens during music making time?
Smoke weed,
make music,
record music.
Yeah. So it's recording, it's not writing time.
Oh, no.
I know, we have the verses already written before we record.
Yeah, we'll talk. I mean, yeah, we live together, so like, just talk about it. This is the topic, blah, 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 blah. I have this verse. Yeah, we see each other, but not a lot. It's not like in our face all the time, but
yeah,
we'll talk about it. It only takes like 20 minutes to really build a song. I mean, to start writing the verses, like he'll come to me like, yo, I have this idea and blah, blah, blah. I started with these five bars and it's going this way. And I'm like, okay, I got that. And then 5 days later, I'll have my verse and we'll just, you know, lay it down.
Yeah. And are you still producing?
I don't produce. I engineer, but I'm still learning. I'm trying to get into producing though.
Oh,
we
okay.
Both are actually, yeah. I mean, I gotta stop saying that terrible word. I don't like that word. It's like me making fun of it, but... Yeah, we're trying to take it to the next level and produce because it's better that way.
It is better that way. I mean, especially at some point, you want to venture off into doing other things and it increases your longevity.
Definitely.
For sure. Yeah. That's the main thing I see with it, too, is that, well, the longevity thing. But it's also, I feel like if rapping is only like really 30% of making music, I feel like the producers don't get as much credit. Because they really do build a lot of songs. I mean,
they are the songs.
Yeah, there's been super awesome rappers. There's still many super awesome rappers who like carry the beat more than the beat. Like Outkast, if you listen to a lot of the Outkast instrumentals, it's like really much simpler than you really thought it was. But their flows on top of it makes it really sound really good.
Yeah.
It's like, but now in today's age, I think that there's a lot of dope beats, and I think I personally go for dope beats. So I feel like I'm only contributing 30% to making music, so I'm not really doing much. So I feel like I need to learn how to produce to bring the other 70% so I fully could feel like an artist. Right now I'm just like a writer.
Anybody gonna throw DJing up on the
Oh hell yeah. All
yeah,
that.
For sure. That comes with it.
Like, yeah.
Between the two of you, who's gonna be the DJ?
Both of us probably. We'll probably do an Underachiever mixing type. Cause we watched that like Flo Shadama, shout out to the Hobies and
Too Fresh
like,
and shit.
Yeah, Too Fresh and the other people that just like I just seen our other friends, ASAP BMs is a DJ now. So like
that's fire.
Yeah, it's bad. It's funny, I mean. But eventually, it'll probably get something like that. But
I wanted to ask, you know, from you guys' eyesight, for those who haven't heard New York, the new New York or Land of Lords, explain Flatbush.
It's just a bunch of cultures,
life.
Like, stuck together and shit.
Yeah.
And a bunch of, like, other shit. I don't know.
It's, like, where a lot of the Caribbean population
Caribbean
that came
people.
To New York and landed, I guess. So it's... like very lively and colorful because there's a lot of Caribbean cultures like up and down Flatbush, but then it's also super diverse because there's like all different other types of races. Like if you go just two blocks from us, it's all Italians and Irish kids
and
like Marine
people,
Park,
yeah.
And that's like Flatbush technically too. They live right off of Flatbush and P and Flatbush and R and all the over there. So it's like, and Flatbush is it's the if not mistaken, it's the longest street in like Brooklyn. Like actually runs from like one point to the other point. So it's like it encompasses a long place. Yeah, if you really think about it, it runs from
King's Plaza to like downtown Brooklyn.
To downtown Brooklyn, yeah, to like that's Queens and Manhattan.
Yeah. Oh love. Yo. Raised in Flatbush, born in Brooklyn, the beast coast with his kids ghosts when flows feathers like cobra. So if I strolled the blocks, no chauffeur. Coast to coast, the same shit. I'm that focused. Hold up, Brooklyn lights at frontals, how we roll up. Fuck you, dumbos trying to bless, but when no foot's thrown on aroma, sour diesel. Higher than my ego, she know. Hold no bitch closer than my pesos. You like how peck grows, be my occupation for the moment. Elevated, overthrow the government. You know we don't need higher minds, fire burning. I don't care what you're concerned with. LSD on the DV, straight the KP floating. I know you peep the steez, golden like I'm chosen. J's leave them Z, way before the Barclays Center open. You hoping I crash this plane, never man, I'm in a legendary lane.
Hitting J's like Tarzan, hitting J's like Tarzan. Fuck you and your man. Pick it up with my brother, left it on. Verbal strong, sour diesel be the fuel for all my Brooklyn lords. Living large, watch out for coppers, you know they making noise. The flappers grown, break the wrong stops, be rocked up by my boys. Jaja knows, been out the matrices like a snotty nose. Switching flows like a Brooklyn nigga, only spoke too dope. I'm counting my pesos and let my brain grow. Watch out for my angels, cause they stealing halos, know how to hate those. It's cause we clean on the block, living dreams on the clock. Keep the weed around my team, so we lean in the spot. The beats coast, we better than most folks. And no hope for niggas that be testing our brain growth. Smoke like my herbal shut out, but to the sun chow. Can't walk a mile unless on my shoes, cause we running Brookline. You get it? We bringing change, motherfuck your damn fame. I don't need your damn approval, God done clear my name. You niggas fucking students, we the masters of this game. So take a seat, nigga, and let a God teach, nigga. No one appropriates with you, but watch out for soul killers. Elevate your mind, and don't listen to no sinners.
No sinners, no friend of me, spray them, they all enemies. Psych, grip your life, don't get the grip, just fist fight.
What was the influences of that, you know, environment into the music? How it just transformed you guys into who you are?
I mean, we didn't really take
much influence from
Flatbush, but it's embedded in us because, we're Caribbean people away from Flatbush.
Yeah.
When people think Flatbush from Brooklyn, you think Caribbean people, but, like, we're Caribbean people. Maybe we're not, because I'm really American, but I was brought up in the Caribbean culture.
Caribbean household.
Flatbush is inside of us. It's like where we grew up. It's the culture that, it's like the root of where we are, but that's just the root. Like, the plant has other things inside of it. So as we grew, we went out and learned more stuff and expanded into, I'm really big on cultural diversity, so like.
But you listened to, like, what'd you listen to in your house when you were growing up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He didn't listen to rap. I listened to rap a little bit at all.
Uh-huh. So like,
but like Nas and Wu-Tang and stuff like that. But like, yeah, he listened to like other shit,
like Matt Random.
Like what?
John Mayer. You guys know John Mayer. Mm-hmm. I always started him. He's my favorite artist. But like the Ruby Sons and Local Natives and Led Zeppelin and Yukon Blonde. A lot of indie rock groups. I'm a real sucker for like acoustic guitar. So like, if any old folk like Fleet Foxes and Yesayer and like any indie folk like guy with a guitar, I'm with automatic, like,
yeah.
So
like, nowadays I like that shit now more than hip hop. Like before, growing up, I was like forced to listen to that shit because like everyone's listening to it in my house. So like
you were forced to listen to what?
To rap music, okay. Yeah. But now I like indie, like rock music and stuff like that. Yeah.
I saw an interview. You said you. I think it was you, Issa, that listened to Barrington Levy and SZA and all that because that was just around.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was forced to listen to it, kind of, but that's just like, that's what I'm saying, like, it's embedded inside of me in terms of, like, friends that I grew up with. My older brother's a reggae DJ, so, like, I had no other choice to know every reggae song ever created. I think that's why I don't like reggae no more because my brother's a DJ. I hear it for, like, 20 hours a day. But, we all grew up on that type of music, like Bob Marley. That's the type of stuff my pops would listen to.
Yeah.
And he listened to a lot of jazz, too. So I guess I got that jazzy side too from my pops, but yeah, now Barrington Levy is a legend.
Yep. Sizzler, all that.
Yeah, Sizzler is a legend. I used to buy Fronto from a store that Sizzler hung out in. Like, he would just be in front of my face all the time. On Church and Notion, everybody know this store, the CD store. We used to get our reggae CDs from when we were younger.
So to expand the scope outside of Flatbush into just the New York, you know, culture and lifestyle, how does that shape you guys? Because your lyrics are beyond the universe.
Yeah, I'm happy you said that, because that was going to be my answer to it. It was like, I feel like that goes back to what I was saying about like New York and Brooklyn and Flatbush being like at our root, because I don't really make music to try and revive New York. And it's like, I feel like we get thrown into that, and it's awesome that we get thrown into that, but it's like, I have like a universal perspective. I'm trying to make music for the universe. It's like that sounded weird, but like, like on a universal
basis. Guy, like, yeah. Can you hear me?
So like when Trinidad James is like getting that New York and people are like, you got shit. I'm like, dude, it's a small scope. He could try that, but we're trying to take over like a way larger scope. But that's who we are. That's where we grew up, in New York and in Brooklyn and Flatbush, running through Brooklyn, all over. So that's the root. And then that's not what we're trying to like resurge. Yeah. Like making songs like Land of Lords and having all that boom bap style to us is like embedded in us. Cause even if I didn't want to listen to rap growing up, I still did. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I was like, oh my God, anti-rap, because I still enjoyed like a lot of Kanye West, a lot of Lupe Fiasco, and like I think old that's the only two raps I really got. Weezy, oh my God, Weezy was like legendary because he was talking outside of the box. But we're trying to bring a universal perspective.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is like, what was your home environment that got you to that universal point? You know,
just curiosity for me.
Yeah, for sure, curiosity. Yeah. My mom was Christian, and I wasn't really with that. It just didn't make
what do you
sense
mean
me.
You wasn't with that?
It's funny, as a kid, it just did not make sense to me. Yeah. It was just like, damn, man, you guys got to come with a little more evidence for some of these stories that you guys are trying to make me like believe. And I had a big imagination from reading. I used to love to read. So it was like, this Bible didn't, damn, I hate to say the Bible, but like this book didn't really seem much different than like the fantasy stories I was reading. So it was like, you guys got to either tell me that's real too, or something's up here. And after a while, I went and got baptized.
How old were you?
13.
You made that choice. You have to make that walk on your own. Yeah, unless there's a grandparent or a parent that's really pushing you. But that's
no one pushed me, because I got baptized when I was a baby. You know, like the automatic like baptism.
So what did that walk feel like?
When
you deliberately was like, this is for me.
I'll tell you what really happened. I had a nightmare, because for a while I thought I was like, all right, this is my reasoning was like, all right, and this is why I don't like secular religions the most. It's because I was like, if I don't believe in Christianity, then I must probably not even believe in God. And if I don't believe in God, because I was correlating religion and God so much that it was like, well, if I don't believe in Christianity, then there's no way for me to believe in God. So I had like a demonic mindset, I guess, at the time. I was really young too, and I started having these super weird nightmares. I was like, damn, Christianity's the way. So, like, I ran to my mom, like, yo, I got to get baptized. So that's where it started. And then I went through the classes. I'm with these other older people. I'm a kid, just like, oh, all right, well, this sounds a little more cooler, blah, blah, blah. They took us to Manhattan Beach. I'll never forget that day. I was scared the whole day. I'm just like, damn, the whole world's going to change. I'm about to get baptized. And I got baptized. And I was like, nothing happened. And I was like, all right, I am atheist. From when that came out the water, I was like, all right, there's no God, period. These guys is just making shit up. And I feel like that was a starting point. That is the starting point for enlightenment, is like
searching for God.
Going on your own path to discover it. Yeah. And then my father, that's why I left him out. he's Asian, so he had a lot of like random Buddhist books in the house. And I picked up one, like, let me just read this shit and see what's up with it. And that's what led me to like starting to figure out alignment. I was like 14, and I was like, wow, I could start looking at God as a philosophy to be learned about and not something that's just like standard and rule based. And that's where it started for me. So like probably like 14 years old.
Hmm. Well, what about your journey?
Me being curious and just asking like to myself like questions, just like, why am I here? Like, what's going on? And then like I got into like Buddhism too, like positive energy and being your own God. And I just strongly believe that you can create anything that you want. So that's just what I go by every day.
What do you think about the power of your messages and your experiences as it reflects in your music and how people receive it?
I think that a lot of people could relate because, like, we struggled and they share the same struggle, like, with their self and just, like, asking questions about, like, why are you here? Same shit.
Yeah.
So, like, they're just like, wow, these people feel the same way and they have, like, a way to go that I can follow to, like, feel free, I guess.
You guys, how long you've been together?
What, rapping together?
As a rapping group.
Like 2 years now. Yeah. It may be 2 years.
2 years.
How did that come together?
I always been rapping, like trying to rap, like since I was younger in high school, and I created like the Underachievers. And then like one day he just told me like, yo, let me help you out. I could do this, I could do that. And then bam.
What did you bring to the table?
He was a super excellent rap, still a super excellent rapper. Mm-hmm. But I felt like he was missing, first off, just support, like just someone on his team that was be able to just support him and be able to be there for him. But just a plan, like I feel like a lot of rappers, I approach rap and everything I do as like planning, if that makes sense. Like before we, prior to even jumping into it, I had a whole plan for like how I want to go about things. It wasn't just like making random music. It was like I had a targeted demographic, a targeted message, a targeted empire. Like everything was like set up. So it's like, I guess a structure is what I brought to it. Like, because I came like a manager at first. Our first year, I was managing us like by myself. Like we had like some people come in, but they would get fired in 4 days because it was just like you can't do anything yeah. that I can't do. It was just like they wanted to answer emails and just show up and like talk to people and like do things like that. But that was why. But yeah, so I guess that's what I brought to
and marketing and shit like that.
Yeah, marketing. Definitely. I love things like that, like marketing and PR stuff. And I like all the behind the scenes stuff, even more than making music. So like I guess
before I was just like rapping, like not really having like a structure, like you said. Mm-hmm. Like an aim to what I wanted to do with the music. So like he helped me with that.
Kids just trying to get into the business ask me what can they do to further their music, and I often tell them to find a partner that challenges them and brings out the best in who you are and what you're trying to deliver. So it seems like you found that. What about each other that challenges you the most? Like, what does he do that challenges you the most? What does he do that challenges you the most?
He's just mad nice. He forces me to rap good or to attempt to rap good because I hear his verse and I'm just like, damn.
Same shit, like choruses and just creativity. It inspires me to be more creative and shit and just work harder.
Comes across like that's the balance in your music.
Yeah, where I lack in the verses, I make it for in the choruses, and then where he lacks in choruses, he makes it for in verses. So,
Is it a similar type of dynamic when you're on stage? Like, I feel like you're more in the forefront.
No. On stage, he's more of the forefront, actually. Yeah. Like, he talks more to the crowd. I'm just like the energetic rapping beast monster. And he's just like interacting.
Yeah, I'm usually, I don't know if I talk to Urban, but usually I'm like giving sermons, like talking and like having fun with the crowd and laughing. And
yeah, I do too, but he does more. Yeah. He's more in the front.
But in a way, it's like a hype man, front man relationship, like traditional. It's funny that I was watching it and I couldn't figure it out. Like, because it was both at the same time.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's like back and forth.
Supportive.
Yeah, for sure. I saw you guys last year at some Basque sneaker something thing.
Yeah.
Yo, you guys bugged me out because you came out and just lit up on stage. I don't think I ever, it was just the way it was done. Like, I've seen, you know, that done before, but it was just the way it was done. I was like, yo,
how did they do it? Why was raw, it so crazy? Probably.
It was just like,
because no one was doing it at the top. Yeah, it was the venue that we was at. It was not for
a
that.
Sneaker place.
But everyone started burning after that, for sure.
It was a little bit, I'm going to say it. It came off a little bit rude, but then it came off like, you know, brash and just like, yo, I don't give a damn. I'm really having like.
These are great qualities for a rapper. Absolutely. Sound bad, but those are all three great things
all
for a rapper.
All successful rappers have all of those qualities. Absolutely.
It was rude, brash.
I look at Def Jam, I'm like, yo, if you really want to be like a star, look at Def Jam. The origins of Def Jam, all the rappers were really bad, influenced you if you want to go by what is supposed to be, you know, good. But nah, that bugged me out and I laughed because the smoke took over and it just, then everyone felt the liberty now. I was like, yo.
It became not a smoke out, but I just noticed more people started to smoke. I was like, okay, well.
But the energy that you guys brought was dope.
Yeah.
Thank you, man.
That's the only show I've ever seen you guys perform.
Man, you gotta come to a real show.
Yeah, you gotta come to a real show for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. It was crazy. Yeah, the audience was very young.
Yeah.
I was surprised. It was like a school
night
and
young,
everything.
The old kids.
I mean, you talk about the youth. What is the youth? How old is the youth? What do they look like? What else do they listen to?
It's like the age 10 to like 35.
Okay.
I feel you.
And then below that is like another super generation of kids that I haven't figured out yet. But the youth are, I don't know, I think they're a lot like us in many ways. I think through the internet, we're realizing that we all have, even though we're all like from different cultures and different races and different styles, like there's really a common denominator that runs across this entire generation. And I think that's what it is I don't know how to explain it. It's like,
what's the common denominator?
That we're kind of tired of the old ways, old conventional ways of thinking, the old conventional ways of carrying on. I think there has to be a lot of like social and educational reform for like society to advance. I think like our generation understands that, even though like maybe some understand it more. I think like the common denominator amongst all of us is that we know that we need change, but I don't know how to bring that change. I don't know how to do any of those types of things.
What do you think that is the missing element of not knowing? Because one thing that I find about this generation now, and even the younger generation, I'm a 43-year-old hip-hop veteran.
Yeah.
And I saw something, I don't remember the artist's name, I feel bad. I don't remember his name, but from the West Coast, and the song was dark and dope as fuck. But it gave me the feeling that the world that he was talking about was really horrible. And it made me wonder, what did we do wrong to not leave the world in a better place than we found it? You know, because that's what you ideally would like to happen, you know, for those who come after you. So what do you think is lacking that you can't figure out what the answer is? Because like Martin Luther King had an answer. You know, he had a vision, and so many other, you know, great-minded people who had vision and an answer. And it seems like everyone has that feeling that they're looking for change, but there aren't people like throwing answers up.
Yeah, I think the answer is this thing I talk about. It's called the collective or universal consciousness. And I feel like the problem is division. I feel like people have separated themselves so much over time because of all of the external qualities that made us different, that we stop realizing that there really is, that we're really on one planet and really one people. And though you might do this way, or I might do this way, there really is a common, to say it again, common denominator that we can find, and not just in the youth, inside of the world that divides us all up. I mean, I spent so much time studying all different types of philosophical doctrines and religions. And the one thing I found is that they all said the exact same thing, or they had this God, and this guy is the same God and like 12 other like things you read about. And I'm just like, damn, it has to be something that is the one. And then I found the universal consciousness, and it just like brought everything together. And it pretty much says that like it's like a storage, I guess. I mean, I could take it. The Bible is a good device because when read correctly, because there's a lot of stories in there, like the Tower of Babel, how like that tower went up to heaven and then it like broke apart and it separated everyone. That's a perfect symbolic story to explain how like all knowledge was separated, but it came from one tower, right? Mm-hmm. So now I feel like the secret is that we have to bring all of us together and we'll make everyone move on one way, and that's like the New World Order kind of. So like that's some partial like with that kind of stuff. But I mean, it sounds very socialistic because like I think the only way it could happen is through socialism. So maybe that's the real answer I'm looking for, but it really is in uniting the entire world, because if we're moving on separate ways, then it's never going to work, ever. We're never going to be able to move forward together.
Yeah. And I think if you don't, like change yourself, then we can't change anything, because it starts with yourself.
Absolutely.
So if you got to bring the change that you want to see, like the quote. But yeah.
Yeah, the last time I heard about the collective unconscious was like right around September 11th, when it was, you know, there are all these stories that people felt like disturbances, people had bad dreams, people like before it happened or when it was happening, before they were aware that it was happening, people like it was that big a rupture. Yeah. We've never talked about that here.
It's a very interesting thing.
Were you here September 11th?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure. I was in junior high school.
Yeah, me too. I was in Manhattan. I couldn't go home. I had to stay for the whole day.
The whole day?
Yeah. Shit was whack.
It was not good. Were you here?
Yeah, I was. When I was living in Jersey, I was home. Mm-hmm. I'd just gone to sleep and woke up and was like, oh, I've been hearing about this my whole childhood. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we talk about the Indigo-ism mixtape? Why is it a mixtape? That's like a solid, blazing classic of an album to me.
I know, right?
We didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah, that was like our first project ever.
Yeah, that was literally the first songs I've ever like wrote, like put down, wrapped into a mic and made. So that was...
Step one, mixtape.
But didn't some things happen before you dropped that?
Yeah, like in terms of music?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I heard that you didn't want to release a mixtape until you felt your audience was ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, but that was during the time of making it. Like going back to planning, like, we took so long because I was just, like, trying to drop. So every song that dropped that first year was, like, strategically planned. Like, this song is for this reason, and then this song is for this reason, and now we need a song with a chorus, so we're going to do this song, and then now we need a song with a banger, so we're going to do this song. So it's like, as we were going on and as we got, like, reception from the audience, I mean, from the fans, we started to make more music because then we started to
hear they like this.
And so it's kind of like Indigo was, like, made while I was listening to the fans. Like, oh, y'all like this? Let's do a couple of these songs. And so when it was completed, it was, like, the perfect mixtape for underachievers because we like, took everything that they wanted to hear and, like, kind of molded ourselves after that.
I mean, the fact that it's a mixtape is dope, you know, for the categories of mixtape and to really, like, you guys, I think, in my opinion, raise the bar and show, like, if you're going to make a mixtape, like, it's got to be above this. Yeah. But to me, it's more like a classic hip-hop album because it just seems like there was a lot. It was of deliberate thought put into it.
Yeah. We tried to, like,
So go through the, like, you finding producers and linking up with people. What go through that
process? We literally asked, like, on Twitter, like, send us dope beats to this email and chose from the email.
That was reward to everything. Because, a lot of rappers, they come in and they, well, not rappers, but like people who want to rap, they'll just start rapping on everyone's beats. That was the first thing I said to this guy, like, yo, I'm not rapping. Yeah, he would like rap people's beats, and then those songs die when the song dies. It's just like you can never make a a real song off of that ever, unless you're already like famous, you know what I mean? So we actually just went through all the beats. Like, it took like one out of every 500, literally, no joke. But we found some gems.
Yeah.
We found some really good beats.
So when you first heard the beat for what became Revelations, what was like? What was the feeling?
Revelations was fire as fuck. Yeah. When I heard that shit, I was damn. Like,
oh.
Yeah.
Did you know right away, instantly, when you heard it, like, where it was going?
Or Revelations?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. That's, like, one of his least favorite tracks.
What?
Yeah, it's my least favorite. Yeah,
why?
I don't like that song. Yeah. It's everyone's favorite, but I don't like any music
shit.
We make. I don't like nothing we do. So it's kind of hard to, like anything.
Yeah, you know how artists are with their music and shit.
Revelations.
When I heard Philanthropist, I was like, oh, shit.
We was crying when we heard the intro song.
That shit was crazy. But
yeah, Revelations is fire. I remember that, and that was one of the first songs we ever created.
Because I give a fuck about the government. I didn't graduate from high school, but I learned how it's done. So I'm gonna be number one. Thank you, Jesus, for my mama.
I must be out of my mind, making niggas wake up to open up to the light. Smoking good dank, yeah, nigga, this must be life. Oh, we making moves, you niggas thought we was fine. Nah, nigga, going hard for my nigga till we all count figures. I don't look at fuck livers on my niggas' nose. Two blunts, four strands in the middle, though. We getting knowledge from the motherfucking reaper smoke. Pouring to lead a generation through storm. And the time so hard, why you niggas go soft? Chase your dreams, my nigga, puff your weed, my nigga, get high, not low. Hustle in the summer till the motherfucking winter, and my flow go hard like a motherfucking missile. You can catch me in the trap with the hustlers and the killers, putting on for my city like we entered the Olympics. Ripping up on my gang, when we bout that love, we don't bang. Let's a heathen step out his lane, then you know them hammers gon' rang. Nah, fuck that, nigga, get your brain up. And if you can't get with them, get your paper. And if you can't get both, nigga, wake up. Gold chain, purple, I'm feeling like a Laker. Demon try to get a nigga, but they never shake us. And see, it's winning out here, so they hate us. But we the realest motherfuckers, no makeup. Psychedelic life, bearing master creators. Ain't no debating who is the greatest. It is up in your heart, nigga. Go out, create it. Get out the matrix while you stuck in the dark, nigga.
Something that funny that happens to us is a lot of music we write separate and
we say the same shit sometimes.
Yeah, like I mean, but like specific words.
Yeah, like
because we talk on the same like Zeus, like we use the word Zeus the same time, or like gray door, or something like that. Like what? No way. Synchronized.
So then, walk me through "Sun Through the Rain." What inspired?
Oh, that shit was
crazy. All right, that song is inspired. All right, that's funny. That's a good one. Because we went and did a show, the only show we did, and I was on stage and I was like, wow. I just ran, like, it was all rappity rap songs, and I ran out of breath by the second, third song. And I was like, damn.
Can't do this shit anymore.
I can't do songs like this. I was like, I need to make songs for performance. And Sun Through the Rain was born. Literally, just that's how it came.
Yeah, all right, let me just cut to it. Let me just get straight to it. Because you said, what did you say? You know, I don't give a fuck about your new wait, you said, I don't give a fuck about your new sports car, I don't give a fuck about your new whack broads.
Yeah.
And on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Like, what was, like, why?
I think also at the time, coming up.
Yeah, tell like, me, keep it to me. Like, tell me what was happening.
Like, people were treating us, I mean, not as a bad thing, but, like, kind of like regular rappers. Like, when I would meet rappers and meet people, it would be, like, the same whack-ass, lame conversations and lame people that work in the industry right now. So, like, it was just, like, don't put us in the same category with those people. But I wanted to be able to make a song like those people for my people to enjoy, because, like, I feel like a lot of conscious rappers box themselves in by just making conscious music.
Yeah.
So I wanted us to establish from the beginning, like, yo, we can make bangers, too. So, like, that's really the inspiration for that song, just, like, making a banger that, like, conscious fans could, like, really bang their heads to and enjoy in their cars. And that's where most of the reason we make a lot of the bangers is for that reason.
By the end of this tape, you gon' know we put it down. God's on deck when we coming through your town. Brought it by the light, nigga, young son chow. Nigga shine bright, get away when we around. I'm from the bush with the hustlers and the killers, but we elevated, nigga, so we play a little different. Don't butt trigger, third I shoot him in his liver. Ain't a motherfucking posse in the game fucking with us. Oh, Lord, a nigga gon' fall. Fucking new bitches every week, porn star. See us in the streets, so you niggas go hard. But a nigga ain't here just to be a fucking star. I don't give a fuck about your new sports car. I don't give a fuck about your new whack boss. You bitch ass niggas better watch how you talk when you come approach a motherfucking ever living guy.
That Carter shit, that Carter shit. Beats host, nigga, yeah, you know we running things. Drop down when you see the guys in proper lick. I'm high, motherfucker.
Do you think that there's something missing in hip hop in general? That you made that statement, like,
Yeah, for sure. That song was a damn. They love that song so much. When that song came out, that's exactly what it was like, though, because it was like they got Devilish and another like rappity rap song, and then
Leopard
that one came out, and
Leopard
it was
Shepherd,
like, yeah, Leopard Shepherd, yeah. And then the like a performance video for that came out, and. The kids just jumped on it because it was a banger, but yeah. I don't know. I try to separate us from hip hop. I don't like being boxed in to anything.
Mm-hmm. What do you think's wrong with the industry?
I really don't know. I haven't been in it long enough, but
substance maybe. I don't know. Like when with the music for me.
A lot of people are lame. I don't know. I don't think I'm a cool guy, but like you meet some of these people and it's like ugh. You suck, bro. Like, dude, you're awesome. So I guess that is the thing, but I don't know the industry well enough to know what's really missing.
Yeah.
What about, like, journalism? Music journalism? Hip-hop journalism?
Like, what about it?
Do you ever check for it? Does it affect anything that you do?
Nah,
not really.
Okay. All right, so then you guys make the next mixtape. I don't know. You know, usually an album comes...
Yeah, we had a shitty label, so.
Oh, really?
There it is.
Do we want to talk about that?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I don't care.
I want to talk about it.
If you want to talk about it, let's.
I can talk about it. I'm going to see.
So what happened with the label?
I think it happens at a lot of independent labels, but they just did nothing at all.
Yeah, no financial support and shit. We did everything ourselves.
Forget that. Like, I mean, that's a major thing, but it's like. Notes, the most I can say I got from like Brain Feeders is a co-sign and a tweet. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
do you think that they didn't understand you when they signed you, or is it just that they didn't have they're not empowered enough?
Yeah,
to,
pretty much that. Yeah,
man, they're not empowered, and they're busy. They're too busy doing some their other shit. They have other shit to do too. Like,
yeah,
he's an artist and shit.
We did a lot of stuff by ourselves, so it's just I feel like if. He didn't do anything that a label should do, or Brain Feeder didn't do anything that a label should do. But I think it's because they don't know what a label should do.
So
that's the question. Yeah. Sorry, is like that. I was gonna ask about that, about 11/11 and like the joining of bass music and hip hop, and like you guys with this real LA label that's really built around a venue that you don't have access to. Like, why did you go there in the first place? Like, what was the attraction?
It was successful too. I forgot why I did that.
Yeah.
We were dealing with there was a couple East Coast labels that I won't say, like independent New York labels, the obvious ones that we were talking to. And once again, strategic move. When I got hit up for an LA-based label, it was just like, wow, I think I can handle building ourselves on the East Coast. If we sign to the West Coast, we automatically become a bi-coastal group.
Yeah,
and it was successful
sense.
Because we're huge over there, and I can 100% attest that to Brain Feeder, because Brain Feeder is really powerful over there. Flylo is a legend over there, and without Brain Feeder, they probably wouldn't be us in Cali as big as we are, so that was the reason why like I went that route. And then it was called Brain Feeder, which just like fit.
Yeah,
and
it's perfect.
Fly is a legend, well, a legend in the making.
And they're all psychedelic like people and shit, so it's funny they were there.
There was no rappers. That was a major thing for me. It was like, oh, there's no rappers here. All right, cool.
We're the first,
Like the first. I mean, there was a rapper.
Yeah.
He's not a rapper.
So in the intro,
no, Jeremiah's
amazing.
Awesome. Yeah,
I love him.
About
Aziz Gibson.
Oh, okay. Now we spoke to Jeremiah and Oliver.
Jeremiah's
great.
Yeah. What are you saying, brother?
So I'm just saying. So just you got you're trying to move it forward. So you came with the next mixtape, basically to give your people, your fans, something like What was the thought process?
With Lords of Flatbush?
Yes.
All right, well, I knew, like, with the next project, Indigozum was received so well that it was, like, everyone's waiting for the next project to see if we'll be better than Indigo's. And so my idea was, why try and make a project better than Indigo's when I can try and make a project completely different from Indigoism, so that they can't be compared to each other at all, and so that way we can try and get a new crowd in to listen to our music. So Lords of Flatbush was another strategic move. It was us trying to expand our sound and also not wanting to box ourselves into just being a boom bap 90s resurgence type of group. So we dropped the project with Lex Luger that had all
bangers
on it, and it
except
was also
for one
for
song.
Performance.
Well, two, yeah. Well, two. Well, yeah, like they're all bangers.
Yeah, they're all bangers. But one at the end, and that was just to like remind people that yes, we still know how to make that kind of music that you like to hear. But once again, not wanting to be boxed in and not wanting to compete with the first, it was like a strategic step back because we knew that it was gonna. I don't know people thought we thought it was gonna be received because it received well, but I think kids thought we were switching it up and not knowing what the hell we were doing.
Shit, yeah, like, all right.
The underachiever deciding to go mainstream. Like, I mean,
nah,
I'm trying to go mainstream.
We could do that, too. We could do that aspect of music, too.
Yeah, so it was like a strategic step back.
Well, naturally, when you try to do something, you're like, well, I want to do this with a specific purpose, you know, so that people don't maybe, as you say, compare. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to, you know, be like, oh, well, we had this and now this and why that. But I think it was very clear that, you know, you were trying to engage more people.
Yeah.
And I just listen to Indigoism, and I don't get this sort of like you guys are throwback. And I know that people say that,
Thank you.
I don't feel that way. You know, I feel like you guys are the continuation of, you know,
yeah, definitely.
On so.
I guess the voice is going back and forth, like us being a duo reminds.
Nah, but it is
like the past shit that's past.
I mean, it's refreshing to me.
Yeah,
just you know,
I understand,
like,
but it's like
I mean, coming from where I come from, man, you guys may or may not know, but I mean, like it's just like that. I mean, to me, that's a classic. The album's a classic, so I'm looking forward to like. What thoughts behind the new album, the much anticipated first debut record. Do you feel pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. you did it to yourself though.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect, but it should be good. I mean, it's
a good album, man. It's a good album.
Music. It's good.
Of course, you're going to have pressure. Just making new songs is pressure.
Yeah.
Is there a title?
Yeah.
The Cellar Door. Yeah.
The Southern Door?
The Cellar.
Cellar Door.
Yeah.
So when's the release? Oh,
August 12th. Yeah. Bam.
Are y'all ready?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're born ready.
I'm already thinking about the next, like, five projects. I think that's why. Because even with the Cellar Door, half the beats on this album I got during Indigoism. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to use these beats. I'm going to save them for later for the Cellar Door album. So it's kind of funny with that.
You've had this title for a long time, right?
Yeah, very, very, very long time.
What does it mean?
It's like a, supposedly Cellar Door is like phonetically the most beautiful word in like the English language. And just like just by sound, like not even like like what it means, like a cellar door. And originally it was a book I was writing when I wasn't a rapper, and I like lost the notes for the book, so I stopped writing it. But the reason why like we went with that name for the album was because on this album it's a lot of faster rapping, because I feel like if a lot of people don't really understand what rappers are saying, but they enjoy it because of the flow, and that is like the cellar door, because like even if you don't know what it means, supposedly it's supposed to be a beautiful word just to the air. So we focused on flows on this album and like really flowing over the beats and not really caring much about not caring, but really focusing on flows and switching flows and
the flows
fast
hit your body
rapping
and shit.
So that's why I was named Cellar Door. It was like a phonetics thing.
It's like an Outkast influence. Is what you're saying, so?
Not really, but
before you were saying that. With the way that they flow. With the way they interact with the beat.
Something like that, yeah.
Definitely like that, for sure.
that creativity.
Yeah.
I'm just like, can't wait for it, man. I'm like just itching. I'm just like, because the flow on Fake Fans, for example, like that flow is sick, it's tight, and it's just like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, so the cadence is just, it's just, I don't, you know how to explain it. You listen to it, you feel it, but I'm, you know, you going, it sounds like you're going deeper maybe, or going further into it.
Listen, everybody trying to get up on our shit, talking about the elevated, they don't know the half of it. Trying to get up in our posse, we got rules like fucking Nazis. Gotta pop it as a hit and let it drip like A$AP Rocky. Hold up, catch me in Soho with my team of riding dolo, hugging all my fans and giving ends up to the hobos. Walk around the store, can't tell I'm how you slow the drone. If you don't fuck with the gang, then you ain't getting any photos. Let me stop it. All my joints be rockets. It ain't nothing, roll another. Got a habbo in my pocket. I switch the topic. They call me a prophet. Make them use they fucking third eye and they close they other socket. Spit that conscious shit and all these other rappers crying. About to fuck the whole game up while I'm talking. It ain't nothing. Me that indigo, you know. Repping for that golden soul. Gotta get in where you fit and you ain't with it. Gotta go. Can't fuck with niggas, man. Nah. Can't fuck with niggas, man. Nah. They say they bought it, they ain't bought it, they ain't with the plan. Nah. Can't fuck with niggas, man. Nah. Can't fuck with niggas, man. Nah. I keep a fucking close circle, you ain't with the gang.
Back on the map, now your chick all over my aura. She see the king seeking a ring.
That's why I feel like we have so much room for growth, because there's so much that I want to say, but I don't know how to rap that good or know how to put it into, like,
stop saying that. Don't say that. Like, I don't, stop saying that. Stop saying that.
There's, like, nicer rappers that...
Stop saying
that. There's always someone.
I guess the reason
nice
I think I suck
is
because there's so much more that I know I can say, but it's, like, so much harder to put into music. And put into music that people want to hear, first off, like...
I feel you, but
now can
you're
I
great
just
guy.
can I just exactly. I'm about to say, can I give you a grown man admonishment for a minute? From a fan of your music, as much as you talk about like ripping off the enlightenment and the freedom, don't put yourself in that box and like you're not, because you are dope, man. You know, like you reaching,
yeah,
you touching.
It's like
you just gonna block what I'm saying.
Nah,
it's
nah,
cool.
Nah, nah, nah,
I accept
nah.
that.
I'm not blocking it. I just feel like if there's so much more that I have to do, because it's like a huge responsibility that comes with especially the type of rappers that we're becoming. It's like the kids really look up to us, you know what I mean? And it's like, I feel like the more bigger we get and the more kids that are inspired by us, eventually they're going to want to know what to do next. And my whole philosophy is like, I can't really tell them what to do next, but yeah. It's like, it's something that we take in upon ourselves. So it's like, I always feel like if I'm lacking in presenting my message because there's, I don't know.
Well, I think, well, okay, I take that and that's your view on it, but then didn't you clearly say that I can't show you the way or the path?
Yeah, it's impossible.
But,
yeah,
you can never. But
spark you.
I could tell you, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it'll spark their compasses so they could go out. And,
good way to put it.
Yeah, I'm like third eye.
Yeah, yeah, nah, you say.
I hate that word.
Yeah, we gotta stop saying that.
Oh no, I don't say that word ever again. But,
the Celador is the last of those. It symbolizes like closing of that.
You know? Yeah, it's even on the album. It's like some Latin there. That means like the end of the beginning. Because after this, I've learned enough from the last three projects to like
make real music,
like make even better music, like so. That's,
what do you mean, real music?
I mean,
not
like,
real. Yeah, he means just like
I was just saying that.
Yeah, we're
yeah,
better.
But
we're
producing
evolving,
as well.
Yeah,
as well
so
too.
Like,
right. Okay.
Yeah, he didn't mean real music. He meant just like cause we're still young. Like, it's going on 2 years now, but we're now like fully like molding together and understanding. It takes a while. This group's been together for like 11 years. We really have 2 years in together. So,
yeah.
Think of how much growth we really still have left together as a group, and then separate because I only just started making music. Like, and now is the time that I'm actually, like, thinking of myself as a musician. It took mad long before, like, after touring a couple times, it was just like, damn, I can't even lie to myself anymore and say, like, it's not real. So
yeah,
now I'm really buckling down and, like, things are hitting me, like, oh, damn, you have this responsibility and you have to do this and this. So, but I think if I just use other outlets, I think that's what I have to do, is not only just use the musical outlet. I think if I get... my blog back up with, I used to blog about a bunch of stuff. The kids used to really like that because then they'll get the music, enjoy the music, and then they can go to the blog and like read and see, like, yeah. Oh, all right, this kid really knows what he's talking about. Because some people, they'll listen to a couple songs and be like, yo, these kids have no clue what they're talking about, or like, they're not really on this, or they're faking it, or blah. It's like, dude, you listen to two songs. And I understand, though, because like, if you just listen to two or three songs, this is going to sound like a bunch of blah, 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 Third Eye, fucking things like that. So I don't really blame them for that. But that's why I have to find out a way to better get
the message out. Infuse the culture, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that, you know, the most important part is realizing that you can grow into being a musician. You know, that's like a big deal. And when you do that, how do I say this? It's like your music takes on a different form.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And because a lot of people, they stay in party mode or just like, you know. And I'll say, you know, specifically, that was one of the things that separated Tribe when we finally like hit that point of like hitting, you know, just orbiting the earth and just like shooting out and going further. It was when we stopped partying, we realized that this is, you know, we can really transmit our message. We learned from going on the road, hitting up Europe and just experiencing different things and connecting with people and realizing like, you know, we can do a lot with it. Yeah.
It's like a real deal thing going on here.
When you get to that, and that was the point when things really like took off and changed, you know, especially inside of us and just going in the studio and feeling confident. Like, I know when I come in, I don't need my engineer to do certain things. It's things that we knew, like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that was actually when the music got better.
Definitely.
So it's a good place.
When you started making real music?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
How old are you guys right now?
23.
22.
How old were you guys when that happened for you?
About the same age.
Same age, right? Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that, like, this whole, like, New York, savior of New York hip-hop thing is a lot of pressure and, like, basically fake and whatever. At the same time, like, you feel it.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah, I hope I don't sound like I'm not with it. I love that. This is my city. I love New York, and I love representing it. The one thing I don't like is just the, they're trying to be like the 90s
the
and
retro
bring that
thing.
Back.
Yeah, no, that's not.
Trying to do none of that.
That's not it. But there is something,
and I could
obviously
out,
special happening, and sure. In like, and you talked about this, but like in different boroughs, like all over the place, really different sounds. Would it ever be possible to get everybody together on one stage?
Oh yeah, well, everyone's friends.
Why has that not happened yet?
It's gonna happen. There's no doubt about it.
We just gotta grow more.
Like
everyone just gotta.
Yeah,
grow.
We all got so much more work to do. But New York is a very
connected.
Like everyone doing things in New York, we're all friends. From the ASAPs to the World's Fair. I mean, to the World's Fairs, to the Zombies, to Action, to you can name any New York, well, upcoming New York artist. I think the only one who's really not with that New York thing is Troy Ave. He's with the like Main Street thing, but in terms of New York artists, and not even just New York artists, like upcoming artists across the country, it's like a connection all the way through, from Chance to Danny Brown to the kids on the West, and so it's kind of crazy what's going on right now.
I'm just trying to figure out the venue, honestly. Yeah, like, where can we put everybody?
I don't know, but Rocky could headline.
Festival.
Hammerstein?
Some festival shit.
Not Hammerstein. Well, Hammerstein, obviously. Hammerstein. That's a good one. Or what's the other one on 59th?
Terminal
5?
Terminal
5? Like,
that place is crazy.
That place is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound that great.
Yeah. I think a festival could definitely do that. Like,
she's like, it's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. It's just something.
Well, we should do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that'd be fire if you guys. Oh yeah, hell, if you guys did it.
You just said something. You just put it out. Yeah,
I put it out in the world.
We gonna have to talk about this outside the room.
Vision board.
Nah, we should definitely do that. Is there any other city outside of New York that makes that gives you that home feeling?
L.A.
Yeah, L.A. Even more. Well, as an artist,
yeah.
As a me, New York is home forever. But as a rap artist, L.A. embraces us ridiculously.
Mm. Love the vibe over there. It's just mad chill and good weed and shit.
Yeah, the kids are, the fans over there are like, they love us more than over here. And they love New York, but over there is like, I mean, I guess because the grass is greener, blah, blah, blah type of thing. So, yeah. Like, since we're so far, it's like they really go crazy there. But
what has been the craziest show so far?
There's been a bunch, man.
I don't know. It might have been. Australia was crazy.
Yeah, Australia was insane.
Every show on Australia is crazy.
Why? I've never been there.
It's like when you go overseas, you're like, well, Australia off rip is just
no one goes awesome there country shit, probably.
Ever.
Really?
Yeah, Australia's the best country. You should go there.
What was that trip like? I mean, that's a long flight, man. Did they give you guys business class or was it economy?
Nah, regular.
They gave you the regular, getting the back of the bus treatment.
Yeah.
Had to like take a Jack Daniels shot and shit, like a couple of those to go to sleep.
It was lit though. It was fun.
So when you got there though, it was the same thing. Like, how was it? Was it kind of like just getting a 15, 16 passenger van and just, you know, trooping up the coast on your own? Or was it like,
nah, they took care of us really good over there.
Yeah.
But, like, it was pretty much, we had to do a lot of flying.
Yeah.
Like, maybe 9 flights in a week or something like that. So, like, it was, like, really, really a lot of flying. But it was all worth it. And, like,
it was fun and crazy.
It was the most fun I've ever had, probably.
Why? Does the crowd respond differently?
Yeah, they respond.
Oh, yeah, they're like crazy.
What do they do?
It's like...
grab you, like, pull you into the crowd.
It's like Paris was super fun, right? But Australia, they speak English.
Yeah,
they
know.
That's the major okay, like thing it. That like, separates it.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
So it's like you're with Euro fans who also speak English.
Yeah.
So that just makes it that much bigger. I mean, we still have so much traveling to do, but like out of the countries that we've been to, like that's what really separated to me was just like... damn, they're going crazy, but then I can talk to them and hear what they're saying and communicate with them. So I think that might have been a factor, but it's really beautiful out there. I mean,
have you been to Asia?
Not yet.
Oh, damn. Yeah, so. Eat you guys up.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. They love black people in Australia, like on some crazy level of like God level, like, oh my God, can I touch your skin? Like, damn, is this really going on right now? Like, it's crazy. And then they have these people called Aboriginals who, like, they hate. But, like, those are, like, the black people of over there is pretty much what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that was cool, too. But I think it's like that everywhere overseas we went, though.
Has there been a dream or aspiration that you've been on your path to achieve and there's been a person or people who told you it's impossible? Stop, quit, don't.
Not for me.
No one, I don't think no one told me to stop what I was doing. Never like that.
Yeah, I didn't tell my mom I was making music until, like, I was able to show her, like, look, 1 million views. I was making music this whole time. Like, what? That's how I did it, so. Nah,
what did she say?
She still doesn't believe, so. Until I, like, make the cover of, like, XXL or something like that, where it's, like, some real rat, like,
now she can hear you on NPR.
I was about to say, NPR is the thing that the parent convinced her.
I know, for sure. That's how
any cover,
This is one of the biggest things that we've done. Like, I was super, when I seen that email, I was like, to Larry, the guy out there, I was like, damn, hell. I said, fuck yeah, in the email. And I did not all interviews. I don't like interviews. They're always, like, really bland.
Yeah.
Well, why do you want to reach the mainstream, quote unquote? Like, I know you want to get what you're doing out in front of like a big audience and everything, but like, what is the mainstream and how is it different from the kids or like your people, your fans? Why do you care about them?
It's a bigger plateau.
You can reach more people.
Stage. It's like, that's it. That's pretty much just it, literally, just touching a larger amount of people. But I don't want to make it sound like we want to go mainstream like King.
We don't.
Like,
It's
like more like I don't want to.
We want to keep
box
our sound
in like a MF Doom or something like that, where it's like he's an underground legend, but like he touches a smaller amount of people than like I feel like we have the potential to touch. So it's that kind of thing. It's not like going mainstream to like be a pop artist, but going mainstream to have a bigger crowd.
Would you? Do you think that? Can you imagine a world in which you are on Hot 97?
Nah.
So can you reach
so that
like, mainstream
nah.
without commercial radio?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
It depends. Do we consider Mac Miller mainstream yet?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like,
I guess not.
Nah, right?
Because he's not on the radio at the time.
Then no.
So yeah, he will be, though.
Yeah, because I think I'm a Schoolboy Q, and Schoolboy Q's on the radio right now.
He's mainstream right now. Yeah.
The barriers are breaking, actually. Actually, I think it could happen. The barriers are breaking. It's like artists like Kendrick and Schoolboy now and people like that are like taking that underground touring world that Tech N9ne is like the king of and like actually being able to break down into the mainstream world. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's that far-fetched as it was before, but as of now, like if God asks, God, it's like, you either die. If it's yes or no, I would say no.
You need radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chance, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's doing his thing.
This was an awesome interview.
Yeah,
like,
you guys are great.
The best.
Thanks. I have a question.
Yeah.
Who came up with the artwork for Indigoism? It's hard to say that. It's right down sometimes.
Who made the Indigo?
This kid, A. Mooley. Yeah, like, we designed it together. It's all right.
It's all right. Yeah. Like you say, it's all right.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it made me just, I mean, I like looking at, I mean, not. It wasn't like a physical album was on, you know, digital copy.
The new one is more fire.
Yeah, you seen the new cover?
No, I haven't.
I'll show you after that shit. It's super fire.
Yeah.
It's like iconic. But I think that's the only thing missing from the Indigoism cover. It was like, it's not iconic for the album. Because I didn't think the album was going to be that good. If I didn't be that good, not that good, but received that well, I would have went harder to try and figure out the cover. But because that's like a font you could find on the internet.
Yeah.
I'm just like, but were the images deliberate or what?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The entire thing, yeah. For sure.
So, why?
Secretly, with the covers, I've been, like, putting little things inside of it. And when it came to putting that up, I chose that photo because I work with everyone that we do anything creative with that helps us. It's like, I just don't know how to use a computer. So I'm telling them what to do. Like, even with the videos, like, I'll direct them. But, like, so I pretty much designed it. I was just saying that. So with the cover, I didn't think I was a rapper, like I've been saying. I now, for the first time, think I'm a rapper. So the reason I was hiding my face on the cover and his face is down because it was, like, kind of like a hiding type of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, not hiding, but, like, a not confident type of thing in terms of the project. Yeah. And then with Lords of Flappish, the reason why I'm outside the house and he's inside is because eventually, like, that's where we branded to where, like, I was a person that spoke more. But, like, he's the heart of the Underachievers. Mm-hmm. So he's in the house, and, like, I'm outside. So, like, that was that. And then on the new cover, if you'll see it, it's, like, I took the symbolism to another level. So, like, 100 symbols on it. But I just really liked, like, when artists used to do cool things, like Bone Thugs with, like, that Ouija board on the cover. And, like, I miss things like that. So, like, I was just trying to do those types of things, like have stories. But I like stories behind everything. That's why all our songs have weird names sometimes.
Well, I was just curious about the image because it stands out, especially like there's a face, there isn't a face.
Yeah.
You know, I just wonder about that. And then I think that, you know, there's more the physical symbols or a sign of an ideology, you know, based off of a symbol. And sometimes you plant it in plain view and it just gets overlooked.
Yeah, for sure. It is there.
So it's like you guys have that pyramid on there, and I'll think about the pyramid in Lower Manhattan and I'm like, do people even see that pyramid?
Yeah.
Do they like what does that mean?
What pyramid in Lower Manhattan?
See, there's a pyramid they built in Lower Manhattan.
Where?
We all see it all the time.
Do you guys know what he's talking
nope.
about? What are you talking about?
See? I've been waiting for the right people to talk about this.
I've been holding
on to this for a minute. It's a huge pyramid in Lower Manhattan in front of all of our faces that was built deliberately, and we don't see. Well, I see the pyramid.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
But what? Where is it?
I'm like, why did they build a pyramid in Manhattan, and what does that really mean?
I'm trying to find this pyramid.
Where is it at? You know where it's at exactly?
I know exactly. You know where it is. We all know where it is. The world knows where it is.
Where is it? Where is it, guys?
The Liberty Building.
What? Where is it there?
Where exactly? Each side has a pyramid.
Oh, the new building.
The new building.
That new building.
The new World Trade Center.
Yeah, I look at it all the time. I go up on my roof. I look at it every night, and I'm like, that looks doesn't look right.
The pyramid. It's the top and bottom of the pyramid. If you look at it, you will clearly see.
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
I just was wondering with you guys, because, you know, y'all take the music beyond the Beamer, Lexus, and Benzes. So I just wanted to talk to you guys about that, but I don't know. Maybe next time you come up, we can
yeah,
we
I'm
can
with
go
it, for sure. We can go into
bit.
All those type of things.
Yeah, I'm going
to
those
type of things.
To it.
So, the next video on top of the new building.
That's
Conde Nast offices. We could break you in.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I just want to like quickly say, I don't know, it's strange to bring up September 11th, but I think that, you know, it's like kind of quietly there for everybody that lives here and was there. And I think it might be one of those little things that I know that your music is universal and for a lot of people, but there are specifics in it that speak to people, you know, from the block. And I don't know, it matters. It just matters. So.
Yeah, it's all linked up together. Like, there's no way that our music doesn't correlate to that whole type of thing that happened there. But it wasn't deliberate, of course, but like,
Well, thank you for delivering a classic album.
And, thank you for loving it, man.
It's, you know, looking forward to more from you guys. And
I hope we don't disappoint. I'm so scared.
Nah, I don't.
Even if we do it, it's going to get better.
For sure.
Exactly. No, I doubt I'll be disappointed.
Yeah.
No, we want to hear it. We want to come to all the shows. We want to watch it happen.
You guys invited,
we're excited.
Man, anytime.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.